I am always right. I am always right. I am always right. This is Dr. Herbert O'Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. I am always right. Now, why do I say I am always right? Are other people wrong? No. I am always right. Well, what if other people are contradicting what you're saying? Well, I am always right. I am not concerned with what other people say. I'm not concerned. If I say something and somebody tries to prove me wrong, I don't care. They'll find out soon enough that I'm always right and that what I said was right. Not that what they said was wrong, but what I said was right. Now, you say, well, that's a rather bold statement to make, a rather unthinking statement to make that you're always right. Why do you say you're always right? Well, because I listen within. I listen within. Now, all of you have listened to Saint-Germain, and you have been just goggle-eyed about him. All the readings you have done and the writings about him, you were just delighted and thrilled and charmed, and your imagination just soared, and you thought, ah, how wonderful. All of you read the life and teachings of the masters of the Far East, and you think, oh, how wonderful. Emile does such beautiful things. And you listen to the stories of Jesus from the Bible, and you say, what a magnificent man. What a magnificent life. And what a, if Jesus said it, I believe it, you know. And so this is what people say. If Saint Germain said it, I believe it. You don't even know Saint Germain. You know. If Emile said it, I believe it. If Emile's mother set the table by her thought, I believe she did it. Well, why? You don't even know Emile's mother. She doesn't mean a thing to you. What is it that you believe? And don't answer me, but what is it that you believe? You believe that it is possible to set the table by your thought. That's what you believe. You believe it is possible to do all these things that these great teachers and leaders have done. It's possible. And it doesn't have to be somebody's imagination or an illusion. You see, I'm never wrong. Because I listen within and I follow. Now, I may be, so to speak, ahead of my time. I may be ahead of my time in doing something and you don't see it. Now, many times during my lectures, I'm waiting for you guys to catch up or wake up or whatever. And so, while I'm waiting, I take an instantaneous journey, and I go off to some other aspect of things that I'm working on, and then I return, oftentimes with a fragment of that thought in my mind, and I even sometimes speak it. And you say, well, what's that? What's that? You know, and you weren't with me. You could have been with me. You could have been with me if you had listened to me as your sharer, as your teacher, as your person who was giving you information. Now, Sylvia, I want you to get your mind on business. This is a mathematics class. We're teaching math. Now, think about math. Get your mind off your boyfriend. Start thinking about math. 2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 2 is 4. Oh, but he's so wonderful. Oh, he's so dreamy, you know. Sylvia, this is a math class. Get with it. And you see, what does she do? I'll do what I want to do. I don't care what you say. But you're going to fail math. Oh, but I won't fail it with my boyfriend. You see, we have these things that distract us. They take us away from it. And this is what everybody does. Now, what's another great distraction? Another great distraction is comparison. When you compare Jesus to Saint Germain, or Saint Germain to Jesus, or Sai Baba, or whomever you're talking about, you see, you compare these great people. Now, you look at Billy Graham, and you say, what a... Billy Graham's no stoop. Billy Graham knows what he believes, what he teaches. Now, he may not fully believe it, but it's the closest thing that he has to what he believes. And Jim Jones, he believed his thing, and he went down to Guyana, and he pulled his game down there, and... the government and everybody is running after him. because the people of these families were running after him. Now, if these people, all these people were without a job, if all these people didn't have any income, if all these people were starving, do you think the government would have been as interested in them as if Jim Jones was teaching them wrongly? They made a choice. They made a choice to follow him and do what he said. I'm not saying what he did was right or wrong, but I'm saying we all have the opportunity to make the choice. We have the opportunity. Now, and the disciples had the opportunity to follow Jesus. They had the opportunity to learn from this guy. And the minute it came for testing time, for the final exam, they ran. Ran all of them, including Peter. They separated themselves as much as they could from their teacher. They didn't want anybody to know that they knew that teacher, that they were following what he said. This is testing time. Now, you will never, ever, ever, ever have a testing time if you believe in yourself. If you follow what the divine in you says, then you'll never have a testing time. But you can always tell people who are having testing times. Those are people who are out searching for someone to follow. They're out searching for a technique that's going to work. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to take you all downtown. They got a firewalking thing downtown now. And we're going to all learn how to firewalk. So we're all learning how to firewalk. It's just one night event, you know. $1,000 each, you know. So we're all going to learn how to fire. But you can walk on fire. You can walk on fire. That's okay. So the next morning, you go out there and you follow the instructions. You follow the instructions that your teacher gave you. It's not your intuitive knowingness, not your intuitive belief, not your intuitive awareness, but what your teacher taught you. Your $1,000 teacher. Yeah. And so, he says, call it cool, wet moss. Ellen has a headache. Her head is splitting. Her head is giving her a terrible, it's driving her up the wall. And then her little niece runs out in the road. And she has to run out there and save her niece. Does she think of her headache? She thinks only of her not niece, but her granddaughter. So she runs out there after her granddaughter. And she picks her up. And she is so emotionally into it. She says, what did you do? Don't go in the street. That's not for children. And she is so emotional. She has completely forgotten her headache. Her headache no longer has any part of her life. Because it is a thought. It is a thought. It is no part of her life. And then she puts her granddaughter down and says, now you can play on the sidewalk. You play here. Don't go in the street there. You shake grandma up when you go in the street like that. Don't do that, you know. And so the little kid says, okay, grandma. And she goes about playing, never once being disturbed. She didn't enter into the dramatics of grandma. She didn't enter into the mental gymnastics of grandma. She just thought she was having fun. And grandma came and added some more adventure to it, you know. Wow, grandma comes and grabs me and loves me. Oh, wow. She doesn't think about her being in danger, although grandma might have projected that, but grandma has a hard time keeping her mind clear. So when we go, well, let's just start. When we learn a teaching and we create ourselves being born in a teaching, like being born a Catholic or a Lutheran or Muhammad or, you know, Islamic or whatever, Jew, what have you, you're born into it. Then it's up to you to take that teaching and make it the most magnificent teaching on earth. Live it. It's your teaching. It's what you were born into. Live it. Live it 100%. Live it as completely as you can. But the minute The minute you speak badly of your founding teachings of how you were born, the minute you speak badly of your Catholic background or your Jewish background or your whatever, the minute you speak badly about it, and you were born into it, then you are saying, I don't believe in myself. Because you created yourself there. Whether you like it or not, you created yourself being born in a Catholic family or a Jewish family or whatever. You created it. That's the way we believe that. We say we create everything that happens in our life. So then, all right, you're born into the Catholic Church. Be the best Catholic person that ever existed. Now, that doesn't mean that the Catholic religion cannot improve. It doesn't mean change. It's just a ching. It doesn't mean change the religion. It means improving it. Does the Catholic Church teach the love, the unconditional love of Jesus? Yes. Then go for it. Does the Catholic Church teach that Jesus came from an Immaculate Conception? Go for it. Nothing wrong with that. Every conception is immaculate. Does the Catholic Church teach that Mary is the mother of God? Well, who's God? Jesus. Well, if Jesus is God, if Mary is the mother of God, I mean, man, that's teaching exactly what we're saying. That teaches exactly what we're teaching, that all is God. And Jesus said he was God, and he said everybody is God. And he said, you see, and we want to knock the religion that teaches the very thing that is in our heart that we believe. And then we leave the Catholic Church and we become a Jew. And we think, that's where it's all at. You know. And so we learn it. And then we find it has a lot of little areas that we don't quite understand or believe in. So then we run to the Hindu teachings. Or we run to become a psychiatrist. Or become an atheist, agnostic. We become something that is an anathema to all philosophy and thinking. And we say, why is that? Why is that? And then we run off to the life and teachings of the Master of the Far East. Wow, 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 we found something great there. Well, hey, it merely complements what we already believe. It's not something new. The life and teachings of the Master of the Far East is not new. And we read in the Bible about Jesus, and most of it's wrong, but much of it is right. And we believe what is right. We know it intuitively what is right. And we believe it and we, wow, wow, wow. And then we find that Saint Germain comes along. And who does he teach? Yeah, have you ever found out who Saint Germain teaches? You haven't the slightest idea. Saint Germain teaches Saint Germain. You know it? Think about it. Anything you read about Saint Germain, it's about him. And that's not bad. He's teaching about himself. And why do you like him so much? Because he has absolute respect for himself. He has absolute belief in himself. And that's what he teaches you. And that's what you like. You see, these are the things that we like. Muhammad, when he wrote the book for the Islams, he wrote the book and he wrote it so beautifully, so perfectly. Oh, there's a smiddling of this and a smiddling of that that comes up, but that's because it's universal. And then his followers come along and they try to rewrite it. And they try to rewrite it because it is not in keeping with their terrorist activity, because it's not in keeping with their manipulation activities. And so they slip that in there. Well, the disciples did the same thing. Paul did the same thing in the Bible. And if you read the writings of Paul, he's manipulating those people something terrible from A to Z. He is the book to the epistles, the book to the Galatians, the book to these people, the book to all. He's telling them how to live their life. Now, shape up. Shape up. Why was the Roman government so opposed to Christianity? Because Christianity was immoral. It was a moralist religion. It was a religion of right living, right thinking, right acting, which is not bad, you know. But it's these things. And the Roman government didn't want it because the Roman government says the Roman government is what is the thinking and the acting and so forth. And so each of the Roman people who were the Caesars and the what have you, they, what happened to them? They took over as the Pope of the Catholic Church. And then they rewrote it. They rewrote it to fit into what they want. And the Catholics are living that today and thinking that that's what Jesus said. Or that's what Paul said. Paul didn't do half what the Roman leaders did. Not half. Not even a tiny bit. And Jesus did none. Jesus said, go, and if they don't like what you're talking about, take the dust off your feet and get out and go where they do like what you. You're not trying to change the world. And you see, we get all these sort of things going on, all these sort of messages that are going on in the world. And then along come the Ramthas, and along come the Peter of Saint Germain or of
Mount Shasta.
And these are good people. They have good things to say. They have wonderful things to say. They're fantastic people. But it's only because the woman wasn't able to be herself and stand up for those beliefs for herself, because she thought nobody would listen to her or follow her. And Peter of Mount Shasta, he's undoubtedly a most excellent man. But he has to say he is given authority by Saint Germain. Now, we have a very dear friend. He's down in wherever he is, down in Louisiana. Good guy. Teaches his philosophy very well. But he says that several of the Hindu leaders and teachers, and he lists about six of them, are his mentors, are his teachers. And he has them on pictures on the wall behind him, and as he preaches and as he teaches. And he has them in all his books. And his stuff is good. His philosophy is super. Everything that he teaches is wonderful. But you see, he lost the message. Or perhaps not he so much, but the first teacher lost the message in saying, it is done unto you, like Jesus said. The second teacher said, well, the first teacher said, and then the third teacher said, well, the second and first teacher said, and the fourth, you see, and they keep going back. And they keep giving credit to others for the convictions that they have finally found for themselves. You follow me? And it is only when we have our own convictions, only when we stand up for what we believe. People say, well, Herb, are you a Christian religion? And I say, no, not the way the Christians teach their religion. I believe in what Jesus has taught. Well, that's Christian religion. No, Jesus didn't teach the religion. Jesus taught a few specific things. He says, I have come not to destroy the law and the prophets, but I have come to give you two new commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy being, and God is within you. He said this a number of times. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy being. God is within you. And the second commandment, equal to the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, because you created your neighbor. Your neighbor is your creation by your thought. Your neighbor, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. He gave us a few fundamental concepts. Now, if I were to say, well, Jesus said this, Jesus said that, people would say, that's nice. But if I say, Herb Barley says this, people say, my goodness, he's a deep philosopher. He's a deep psychologist. Or he's a stupid person, you know, to think that he can go around saying things like that. Well, it is psychology. It is philosophy. So I say to you, Peter of Saint Germain is wonderful. Jesus the Christ is wonderful. And on with all the rest of them. But teach what you believe, teach what you know, teach what you are. And as long as you're out chasing a new guru, someone to teach you to walk on fire, which is a learnable art, But the thing is, it does you no good if you don't apply walking on fire in all areas of your life. What is walking on fire? I'll tell you. What is walking on fire? Walking on fire is naming it and claiming it. Simple, simple, simple. Naming it and claiming it. And if I name that I am healthy and claim it, so be it. If I name that I am poor, forget that. If I name that I am wealthy, I name it and claim it. If I name that I'm healthy, I name it and claim it. If I name that I'm happy, I name it and claim it. I name and claim that desirable, truthful, wonderful things about me. Am I a fabulous father? Oh, you bet. Just talk to my son. I always thought I was not doing it as well as I could. But he tells me, Dad, of all the fathers he's ever met, and he's met a lot of them, you know, we had the best relationship, father and son. Now, that's nice. That makes me feel good. I'm not saying that to you to make you like me. I'm telling that to you because this is my choice. I had the humility in raising him to always want to give him more and always want to do better and always want to share with him more. And yet I knew there was more that I could do. And yet I knew that I gave him the best. And he knew it. Now, where are you standing? How many more people are you going to follow? How many more books are you going to read by other authors? And I tell you, Sylvia, you, if you don't sit down and write the book that's in your heart, the world's going to be losing a wonderful gift. And you too, Ingeborg. You have a beautiful mind, a beautiful brain, as soon as you start thinking about philosophy and things like that. But the minute you start thinking about something else, you get off track. But as long as you're on philosophy and as long as you're on unconditional love, you're great. And Ellen, every day she fills her life with 1, 5, 10 beautiful adventure stories. And she doesn't write them down. And she doesn't put them into a book to share them with herself. Now, who is Ellen going to write the book for?
Herself.
Who are you going to write the book for? That's right, yourself. Now, and what benefit is there in writing the book? It keeps you away from reading other people's books. It keeps you away from reading other people's problems as they were arriving at their understanding of their self. Because you'll be writing only about solutions. You'll be writing only about the good, and you won't be praising somebody else. You'll just be delighting in the adventures that you observed, and you interpreted, and you wrote down, and you shared. Now, do you want to do it any better than that? Well, if not, get your life in order, because it's important. I like me. I like everything I do. I'm happy. I feel good. I buy different things that are on the market, different pills or different ointments or different things, and what the heck, that's part of being human. But do I need it? Do I want it? Do I have it? Oh, so. But the thing is, the minute I need it, you might as well light the fire. Because I'm ready for cremation. No, really. The minute I need anything because I'm really bad off, then I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
So the minute any of us need anything, we're in trouble. Life is our oyster. Now, are you going to enjoy it or not? You're going to have fun with it or not? Do you care whether people like you or not? You care that you like you. If you don't like you, then you look around and you see everybody not liking you. And that's a good clue. It's a good clue. Because if other people around you are not liking you, it's because you don't like yourself. And so it's about time to change that attitude. It's not that other people are doing wrong by not liking you. It's you are putting out the wrong signals. Put out signals that you like yourself. If Sylvia would leave the table right this minute and the sprinkler is running in the front yard. And she would say, ah, da-da, da-da, and she'd go dancing in the water of the sprinkler. Would we think she's crazy? No. Would we think that she's doing her own thing? Yeah. Would we think that she's having fun? Would we think, I wish I'd thought of it? But you see, that's what you want the world to look at you and say. Not you're doing something silly or wrong, but you're being yourself and you're having fun. I looked at a feature edition on Hogan's Heroes, and it showed Commander Clink, Commandant Clink, in an interview with a disc jockey on television, you know, and quite a famous man. And Clink looks a little fuller, but it's Clink. And so he says to Clink, he says, you left Germany in 1934-35, and then he said, yes, I did, because we were Jewish, and my father was an engineer, and we felt what was coming, and so we came to America. And my father was an engineer, but he also was a symphonic conductor. He conducted symphony, he was a symphonic conductor, and Klempner is his name. And so he came to America, and he became a very excellent symphonic conductor. And he was asked, well, now, did that disturb you, that the death camps, you know? And he said, well, at first I thought death camp, but this is a prisoner of war camp, and it's a spoof. And he says, spoof on a prisoner of war camp, that is absolutely outrageous, terrible, terrible, terrible. But he read it, and he said, they have done an exquisite job of making it into a spoof. It is beautiful. And then he said this, which I thought was most significant. He said, I have been an actor. I have been a sitcom actor. I have been on the serials on television. And I have been, I have a good career. I'm making lots of money. But nobody ever noticed me. Nobody ever recognized me. And most people, when they're in a sitcom, they don't want to be recognized anymore. But he said, when I got to be Commander Clink, everybody recognized me. He said, even today, people recognize me. And so he says, I think that it was wonderful. It was very good for me. He says, and I feel very good about it. He says, I direct symphony orchestras occasionally too. And he says, I direct them for the films, for cartoon films, where they have the cartoon about music, some music, and it's for children. And he says, I direct the music and so on. But it's, and then he said, nobody recognized me until I was that. And he said, yes, I really liked it. And so then the DJ on the television show said, well, Walter, I have something for you. And so he brought it out, and it was his monocle, because his monocle had been stolen just a couple months before. And so, wow, wow, wow. But what followed, I think, is significant of the real man's character. He says, wow, and he put it on. May I try it on? Yeah, put it on. Whoa, still got it, still got it. It looked good, looked good. And made his face thinner and everything else. And so then he took it off and put it back in the box and gave it back to the DJ. And the DJ put it down next to him. And the DJ said, yeah, I give this out to people now and then at different performances, you know, the DJ. And so Clement says, well, okay, you know. And, you know, but it just was nice. And so then as they stood up to say goodbye, the DJ says, this is for you. Oh, you're sure? You're sure? You're not. I'm not an Indian giver. I'm not an Indian giver. It's yours, you know. And so he took it and he said, this is more meaningful to me than most anything that anyone could ever do. Mm. This is really, you know, it showed the inner character of the man. Just like our movie last night. The inner character of the man was almost lost. And the inner character of the man was almost lost because he did something he shouldn't have done. He tried to help this boy who was almost there reach the top when he didn't deserve the help. And all he did was to destroy him for the rest of his life. And this is what happens to all of us. Keep your nose out of other people's business. Keep it in your business. Be yourself and have fun. Go with Sylvia if you want and dance under the sprinkler and have fun. And do kids love that? They sure do. Do puppy dogs love that? Yes? Do the deers love it when they came out of the forest? Remember that we saw the YouTube on that? You see, we live a very special life, and the life is only as good as we believe in ourselves. So believe in yourself and know that I love me more than anything in the world, and I created you as my mirror, and I love you. I love you. I love you.